Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida.
What do we promise to do in paragraph 2 of the church covenant? Well, we engage, or we pledge, by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. Notice there that pledge that we make by the aid of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to magnify Christ in His church. It's one of the avenue through which the Holy Spirit operates. And for our life, we ought to be governed by that same power. Ephesians 5, 17 and 18 says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." That was one of our memory verse camp. And the next verse says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with," meaning to be governed or to be controlled, "by the Spirit." And that was the idea. He paints the picture, the illustration between somebody that, well, they're being governed under the influence of alcohol. Well, we ought to be governed under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That ought to be what guides our decisions and our direction in life. And we acknowledge this in the church covenant that it's by the aid of the Holy Spirit we promise to do the following. It's not in the power of man. This is not because we are so great or we're so spiritual that we are going to live up to this standard, but rather it's that we're going to submit to the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, and we're going to carry out these biblical principles of Scripture. To walk together in Christian love. We commit ourselves to walk in Christian love with other members of the church. This is the very spirit of the Lord's words when He said in John 13, verses 34 and 35, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And the very first pledge that we make is that with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are promising that we will walk together in Christian love. This covenant is a great thing to examine because you can then look in your own life. And if there are certain members of the church that you have contentions or strivings, and you are not walking together in Christian love, you are failing to fulfill your promise as a member of the church, but more importantly, you are failing to be obedient to the very word of God, yea, even to instructions that Jesus left here during His earthly ministry. We're to walk together in Christian love. Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." The daily manifestation of this kind of a love towards one another is a means of demonstrating to the world that we know Jesus. We are doing as He commanded us. This is the very fulfillment of the law of Christ, to love one's neighbor as himself. In Romans 13:10, it says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." So as a body, we should walk together in Christian love. And if we cannot do this with the aid of the Holy Spirit, there's not much help for any of the other promises that are to follow. We must be an example of love, especially among the brethren. Well, then we find the next pledge, the next promise that's made, is to strive for the advancement of this church. And the first thing that's outlined is in knowledge. And ask yourself this question: do I strive? This is you personal. Don't all of y'all look at me and think, does Kyler strive? That's not. Y'all look inwardly and ask yourself, do I strive hard to advance my church in knowledge? It's a promise and a pledge that's made. And again, this is because it's what Scripture commands us to do. Do I strive to advance myself in the knowledge of the word of the Lord? The term strive, boy, it's a good term, a good word. It means to work hard, to labor strenuously and earnestly in this context. Do we work hard and labor earnestly and strenuously to learn more and more about the Word of God? Church members should seek, strive, or work hard to increase in the knowledge of the Lord. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. When one grows in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he can then serve better. The Berean church was commended. It was complimented because her people searched the scriptures daily. We read in Acts 17:11. Paul commended the Ephesian brethren to a study of the word of God, the word of his grace that would build them up in Acts 20:31. Zeal, that passion to serve the Lord without a proper measure of knowledge will be the result. It will cause many errors. Listen very carefully. That desire, that zeal to serve the Lord, but lacking the knowledge will result in some errors. Priscilla and Aquila were commended because they brought alongside an individual by the name of Apollos. And he had great zeal, but he lacked in some knowledge. And they taught him and helped build him up. And he became an influential factor in the early church. How about a fellow by the name of Peter? Peter cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. He had a lot of zeal, a lot of passion, but he didn't understand what the will of God was. And the result was great error. And we could pick on Peter for the rest of the illustration, just time after time, that he wanted to mean well, but he lacked knowledge. We go on and on, but we're exhorted, we're encouraged. Paul admonished Timothy to study in order that he would show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Which means if there's a way to rightly divide the word of truth, there is by necessity, you can wrongly divide the word of truth. We must grow in our knowledge. We must mature as believers. And we make a pledge to do so. In addition to winning people to Christ's salvation, in addition to baptizing such as have been saved, the Lord's church is to teach them all things whatsoever he has commanded them, that people, for the purpose that they may increase in knowledge to the edifying of the body of Christ. And we find that pattern and example throughout the New Testament. So we've made a promise to strive in knowledge for the church. And not only that, but how about the next one? In holiness for the church covenant. We find that in knowledge, holiness. Every member of one of the Lord's churches vows to strive or work hard for the advancement of his church, not only in knowledge, but also in holiness. And the term holiness means to be set apart from the profane to the sacred. A church as a whole can advance in sacred things only to the extent that her members advance or mature in sacred things. The scriptures admonish men to live separated and holy lives unto the Lord. We make a pledge to do that, being a member of the body of Christ. Boy, there's so many verses here. You could reference 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. Ephesians 1:4 declares that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. A principle to remember is what we should do, he grants us grace and means to do if we are willing to do it, if we submit to him. What we should do, he will give us the grace and the ability to do if we will actually submit to him and do it. There's so much here, but time will not allow. We need to continue. How about in comfort? This is the part we like. Hey, I may not can support the church in knowledge. I can't support it in holiness, but I can support it in comfort. I can make sure the air conditioner stays running. I can make sure that the pews stay packed. I hate to break it to you, but that's not the comfort that you're pledging to. It's not the being comfortable in church. It's literally the comforting of others. We pledge to one another before the presence of the Lord that we are going to advance the church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort. It means to console, to call alongside of, to share the affections with the weak or the sick. Our Lord was a personal comforter to his associates when they were in any need on the earth. When he went away, he promised to send another comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he did send them. And he's with us even to this day. Yet, we are to be personal comfort sharers with those who are in any trouble, especially among the household of faith.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. is our prayer.